Oh, we back. Oh, we back.
Yeah.
Hey.
Skirt. Yeah.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, Gavin. How are you?
I'm good. It's, it's the end of a long week and it's just getting started. It is just getting started.
Yes.
Pretty interesting Broadway week. Nothing like out of the norm, but there was a good amount of stuff to talk about.
We got a lot casting news this week.
Yeah, a lot of casting news. I found some like silly, funny little things, just little like announcements that I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. And then, I mean, nothing crazy. We can get into it if you
want. Yeah, let's just get into it.
We can just go.
Yeah.
The first thing that I wanted to talk about is Playbill did a little, here's the shows that you can see around Christmas time. Like some shows don't perform on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or New Year's Eve or whatever. It just varies show to show. And they made a little like graphic and they're like, hey, here's all the shows that you can see around Christmas time. And I was like, what shows can you go see on Christmas? If you want to go see a Broadway musical on Christmas, you can go see Almost Famous, Chicago, MJ, Music Man, or Piano Lesson. This is probably the easiest way to guarantee. If you want to see Max Clayton in Music Man, go on Christmas. If Hugh Jackman is performing on Christmas, I will go jump in the Atlantic Ocean.
Like, that's crazy.
There is no way that Hugh and Sutton are performing on Christmas. There's no way. If they can't even keep the show running when they're not in it, like, there's no way.
They would have to be paid a pretty penny extra to be able to to do that.
And it's not like that one performance is really going to kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to go see Max Clayton, go and see that on Christmas. What else? Matt Doyle is the new Seymour in Off-Broadway's Little Shop. You may know Matt Doyle from the most recent revival of Company, where he was playing Jamie, as well as, oh man, what else has he done? He's done Book of Mormon. He did Bye Bye Birdie revival. He did, what else has Matt Doyle done? Spring Awakening.
Yeah.
Get his Playbill reference page up.
I'm on it.
Hey, Matt Doyle, he's done a lot. He's actually the Boothang of Max Clayton. What a good segue.
Oh my goodness.
Him and Max Clayton are dating. I just listened to a really good episode on another podcast, Stephanie J. Block's podcast. Stephanie J. Block has a podcast. It's called Stages, and it's really good. And she interviewed Matt Doyle, and he had so many really cool things to say. Evidently, Matt Doyle has like not a very traditional training background and approach to the industry. Evidently, he was talking in this episode, he was like set up to go to Carnegie. He was like, you know, got in, toured, did all of that, and then before it was time to commit to the school, he just kind of had this feeling that he was like, this isn't right, I shouldn't go here and do that. And he was like, I couldn't really tell you why, I just didn't really want to. So he instead decided to go to London. I don't remember where, I might have been Lambda, and he studied there for like a year or 2 years or something, and then moved back to the city and just started booking. And it's just a really cool story how he just like has these moments where he's like, you know what, this isn't, and I can 100% resonate with that story. And it's just like so cool. He's such a cool person. He's such a if we could like interview one person on this podcast, I might keep Matt Doyle like really in mind, because he is just so interesting.
Yeah.
He has so many really good things to say about being a young adult in theater, which is what we are.
Man, I'm looking through right now. Matt Doyle, crazy career. Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously big ones, Company, Little Shop upcoming, Book of Mormon, Elder Price replacement. Amazing. War Horse.
Oh, yeah.
Originated, well, Billy Narcott. And then Bye Bye Birdie, 2009.
Yep.
He was Hugo Peabody.
Yes. Yeah, really. I'm still talking about Bye Bye Birdie in my research for that show. He was really good. I thought he was good. The show itself was not good. They kicked Stephanie J. Block to the curb in casting that show.
Yeah.
Which was, listen to this podcast episode on Stephanie's podcast. They like joke about it, and he's just like, I wish you were in that. She's like, dude, same. So funny.
And then every single other role in Spring Awakening, he was the replacement or swing for or understudy for.
Yeah.
Otto,
yeah,
Hanschen, Melchior, George, Ernst, Ensemble, Melchior, full replacement, the first time he was the understudy replacement, and then Hanschen.
Yeah. Just really cool. He made his Broadway debut when he was pretty young, if I can remember. It was
He joined the cast in 2008, so...
Alexa, when was Matt Doyle born? He was born 87. In 87, so that would have made him, what was it, 2004?
2008.
Oh. 21? Is that right?
Let's do some quick math.
Alexa, what's 2004 minus 1987? Just do that.
It is still 2008, though, so add 4 years onto whatever this number is.
Why did that say 17? Was he 17? There's no way.
No, because he was 21, because you...
Oh, yeah, right. It's 2008. Yeah, so he was 21. Damn!
Good for him.
So cool.
So it sounds so like cool. The London track worked out as opposed to Carnegie.
I think he did
just fine.
Absolutely. It's just so, like, my favorite thing to do when I get, like, obsessed with an artist or, like, really into a theater person, like, I either see them in a show or see that they're doing something cool, and I'm like, I don't think I know enough about them. I just open Spotify, go to, I search their name, and usually like cast recordings and albums will come up, and then I just filter it to podcasts and shows and just listen to a few episodes about them. And it's literally like the best way to learn about who these people are, because they always have so many good things to say. My favorite one is Stephen Sondheim. He's just, you know, the best inner person to get interviewed ever.
Yeah.
And whenever I like run out of people, I just do that. But it's like, oh, I go and see this cool show. Like after Company, I was like, Christopher Fitzgerald. I was like, I don't know enough about him. I know kind of some of the work he's done, but then I got to, and again, just such another, a great, great listen, and such a cool, like, just these Broadway people, man, they're just so good at what they do. And they're so good at capturing the feeling of what they do. And they're so honest in these interviews. It's great. It's great. Yeah, love Matt Doyle. What else? There's some cool, there's like a few pieces of like really cool news. Broadway is honestly just doing well. They're not doing awesome, but they're doing well. A lot of really good announcements and things are coming. This which leads me into the next ones. So Candor and Ebbs, New York, New York, with assistance from Lin-Manuel Miranda, is going to set a Broadway opening date and theater. Oh, it's going to start previews on March 24th and open April 26th at the St. James. So this also kind of confirms that Into the Woods is done after their announced closing date, which was January something, January 4th, I think, which is very, if you talked to us about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have been like, no, Into the Woods is going to keep going until it's done. It's done. It is not. We'll get into this week's Broadway grosses. Into the Woods is just struggling financially. They can't really seem to fill seats. They just can't fill seats. And on weeks that they fill more seats than the previous, they lose a ton of money because they're just not lowering their ticket price. It's so weird. Yeah. I'll talk about it more on the Broadway grosses, but it's like I guess this week's kind of different because Into the Woods, the average ticket price did go way down. We'll get into the Woods later, but it's done. This show is done. After their, I think Sarah Bareilles was a very big pull for people that aren't Broadway people. And when she left, and when Philippa left, and Joshua Henry left, and Brian D'Arcy James left, and the hype of Into the Woods went away because it's like, oh, now there's a replacement cast. Like any show, when you get to the replacement cast, it's not, it's just not going to perform as well. And this show is really struggling. I say that lightly because it's still Into the Woods, but it's struggling. And it's really hard to see because this was like the third highest grossing show for a few weeks. And it's just fallen way down. We'll get back into this. I saw this really cool TikTok. I don't remember the woman's name who made it, but it was a really cool video, and it pointed me in the direction of this new website called bwayrush.com. bwayrush.com. No www or anything. And you just type that into Google, and it lets you basically just see what tickets are available to you. So you can select all these demographics. There's five demographics that you can put in. If you are under 41, under 36, under 31, a student, or in the military. So for Liam and I, we would select under 31 and the student tab. And it highlights each show. It'll show you for this upcoming week when they're playing performances, and they use little dots. It's very cool. And the different colored dots associate if that's a change, if they haven't done that last week. And then it also shades in the weekend. So you can kind of see that too. And it'll show you for each show. So right now, the first on the list is Ange Juliet. It says that it's in previews. It's showing two dots. So that means for this week, they're playing on a Friday night performance and a Saturday night performance. I think tonight is their first preview, which is really cool. I saw that they had an invited dress yesterday or 2 days ago, which is pretty cool, because in my mind Anne Juliet wasn't coming until like December. Like, I didn't see Anne Juliet coming for a hot sec. If this show starts to really, really do well, maybe in my January trip I can snag some Rush tickets or something. But it shows me here, it's a, oh, okay, there's a $39 digital Rush, and it has a link. I literally can just click it from this website and it takes me to Anne Juliet's website. Oh, Anne Juliet on Today Ticks. And I can get digital Rush tickets to Anne Juliet. But then for some shows that offer more, I'll find a strange loop on here because they have a ton of deals running right now. Yeah, so it'll show you $47 if you go in person, $56 digital. And then they have a $44 lottery. Some of them have standing room tickets that you can buy. It'll show you special deals if you're a student, 30 under 30, stuff like that. Really cool. I would check that out if you're a New York living folk like Liam and can easily get over and need last minute tickets. Very, very cool resource. All right. What else about accessible theater? Top Dog Underdog is giving free tickets to public school students. Pretty huge. They are giving away like pretty large, like amounts of tickets. They're bundling these pretty big ticket packs to get public school students in the city to come see Top Dog Underdog, which is getting pretty good reviews. And I really love to see that they're doing that, because yay, accessible theater. The Kite Runner is going to be launching a North American tour. Since they're closing next week, they just acquired the rights to launch a tour, which is pretty cool because they were on a limited engagement as of right now. Pretty awesome. Speaking of the woods, Danae Benton is going back to the woods as Cinderella on November 21st through Christmas Eve. But then there's a gap from Christmas until the end of Into the Woods run in early January.
Could this be the return of Philippa Sue?
I think so. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Like, why have Danae Benton come 2 weeks before they close if you don't want to bring...
It's actually going to be Neil Patrick Harris
is playing
the role of Cinderella.
My bad. You're right. It is going to be Neil Patrick Harris.
Use your brain, buddy. Come on.
But that would make a lot of sense. My prediction is that they're going to bring back a lot of their OG cast for the end of their run. But segueing into the beginning of January again... There's been quite a few rumblings on the theater sphere talking about Phantom again. And if Phantom of the Opera will actually close on their scheduled closing date, a lot of people think that it won't. And there's some pretty clear evidence why. For one, Phantom hasn't really, like, marketed the fact that they're closing. There's nothing outside the theater, last I checked, that says, hey, we're closing. in the research I could do, I was finding people saying, hey, why doesn't Phantom have anything up? Like, when shows close, they'll change their marquee to say closing January 15th or 14th or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, you got to cut to in order to try to bump ticket sales. And they're doing really well. I mean, I wasn't expecting them to start selling out until maybe like Thanksgiving-ish, like when the holidays start to roll around, and then they'd sell out every week. But they've been selling out every week for 2 or 3 weeks now, and that's not going to change until the end of the show. And no. I don't know, maybe like if the show's doing really well and there's all this hype back around it, do they decide to not close? But then again, there's the conversation, which is like, we would actually get to January and people would be like, oh, okay, well, it's not closing, and then Phantom's just going to go back to where it was. People are and like, there's...
I just think that is part of... Nobody likes a disingenuous brand.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, if they were to stay open and keep everything the same, people would be like, oh, so you sold me this more expensive ticket because you were closing, and you got me to come see it, quotation marks, because you were closing, right. And now tickets are going back down in price, and it like doesn't even matter. Like why did you make me buy this expensive ticket to go see the show? You made me think you were closing and I hadn't seen it, and I wanted to see it one more time before it closed.
I wouldn't be surprised if it went both ways, just because I think, like, I just wouldn't put it past Andrew Lloyd Webber to do this to people. But what I don't agree with is the fact that the way that demand for this show is going to work is the demand is all coming from the fact that it's limited right now. It's like why Gucci's a thing. It's limited. It's hard to get, and that's why it's so expensive. Phantom right now is limited and hard to get, and that's why it's so expensive. Once you make it not limited and hard to get, it's going to go back to where it was. And people are just going to be like, oh, okay, whatever. The reason that ticket sales are going up, it's not people who are like, I don't know. The reason people are buying tickets is because they've either loved Phantom, it's their favorite show, which for a lot of people is the case, and they're like, I have to go see the show one more time before it closes, or it's, I've never seen this show and I have to go see it before it closes. That's the only reason ticket sales are up right now. So I would really not understand why they would want to stay open, because then they would just... It's just okay. That would last for maybe a month, but Phantom's not going to be the show that sells out all the time now.
It's not like they are selling more tickets at a higher price because people are suddenly finding out that it's a good show.
Yeah, right.
You know, like when you run for 35 years, you're fine.
Yeah.
Like, we get it. We know.
Maybe there's this like middle thing that happens where they're like, okay, we're doing a little encore of 2 more weeks. And they can kind of just inch closer to the finish line instead of like keeping their hard closing date set, because it's like, you know, these like you could just be like, hey, we're actually not done. We're going to run for 2 more weeks. And then if they continue to do well for those 2 more weeks, okay, 2 more weeks. And then they just kind of keep going and they're just on this like tentative thing. But again, it doesn't really work. That's not very like sustainable. So I don't know. Interesting to see what happens, though.
Yeah.
The Olivier Award-winning Life of Pi is coming to Broadway with an opening night set for March 30th. I def want to go see this one. From what I've read and seen, it looks pretty cool. It's going to the Gerald Schoenfeld BT Dubs. But pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
Puppetry is having its moment in the sun for Broadway right now. It's like,
yeah, it is.
Yeah. The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, if that transfers, that has a lot of puppets too. Mm-hmm.
Milky White, Lion King, all that. Cool stuff. More show news. Back to the Future has set a Broadway date with casting for a few of the leads from London coming over, and it's set to open August 3rd at the Winter Garden. Pretty cool. This is... People have been talking about this and Anne Juliet being the most hyped shows of the season. Personally, I think Back to the Future is going to do better. But that's just my opinion. Very excited to see Back to the Future. I think I don't know. I just see this show doing really well. It's kind of a spectacle. It's taking them a long time to open. What did I say? August 3rd or something? Yeah, August
3rd. Wait. August 3rd?
So they're set to open August 3rd with preview starting in like June. Let me pull up the article so I can actually get these dates right. It's because Music Man like is done January 1st. I think they're closing New Year's Day, if I can remember right. And then, like, they need, from what I've been reading, they need this time to move the show over because it's such a technically cray-cray show.
This show better sell out for the next 10 years in that theater.
They're going to be,
the theater's going to be dark for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Are you kidding me?
Crazy. No, I know.
Zero tickets. Uh-huh. Zero profit.
I mean,
coming out of one of the biggest theaters on Broadway.
It is a very big investment, but it did really well in the West End. Let me see. When are they starting previews? The musical opened September 13th of 2021. So their performances are starting June 30th. So they're going to have like a month and a few days, which is... Yeah, I mean, this show, this is why I think it's more hyped up than Anne Juliet, because Anne Juliet, you know, they're both West End transfers that did really well. So it's not like New York, New York, where we haven't seen this yet. But it's like from
it's
what
gonna
I've seen.
It's going to be different Tony seasons, though.
It is.
They're not even going to be competing.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. A lot of people were like, hey, why wouldn't the Tony season isn't that stacked right now for best musical, like why not try to just rush this in and get open in the early spring? But I don't know, they're just gonna try to open right at that hot ticket of Broadway. It's gonna be, you know, just under a year until this show actually opens. We're gonna be talking about Back to the Future for a very long time. My official prediction, I'm gonna make this audio clip now so that we can go back to it if this happens, I think Back to the Future is going to flop. That's just my take. I think it's not okay. It's not that it's going to flop. I don't think it's going to win Best Musical. I think it's going to be under. What do I think? It's going to be like underwhelming. The way that the world receives this show. It did well on the West End, so it's like the chances of it happening are slim, but I still kind of see this being like a, I don't know, just a show that it's going to be like Beetlejuice, I think, where it runs for a while, but it doesn't win a bunch of awards. There's a group of people that really love it, but personally, the musicals that tend to do really, really well aren't taking material that people love so dearly and trying to make it. Put it in a different medium, because that doesn't always work.
Yeah, I think it's tough. It's funny, we were having a conversation about, like, quote unquote, like dead theater, mm-hmm. where it's like a show that's like dead behind the eyes.
Yeah.
And it's funny that, and I'm not at all saying that that's what Back to the Future is, because I haven't seen anything. I have not seen anything about it. But you know, you talk about like Music Man. It's like a pantomime, like someone is holding it up by the shoulders and the wrists and like a puppet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I know
and,
what you mean.
And like shows that don't contribute anything to society. And I'm interested to see how people feel about this show. Cause I can't weigh in on it cause I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
People who loved the movie will see it.
Yeah, like right.
There is a demand. It's going to be like commercial musical theater. Yeah, and I think that's a fine place to be for it, because I don't know if they're going after the Tonys. Obviously, everybody wants to win them. Maybe they can win them for like best performance and everything. But I don't know if they're necessarily marketing it as the best written show of that year. I don't know if they know if they need or want that, because it's a musical adaptation of Back to the Future.
Right.
I think they just want to put on a good show and have fun.
I would agree. I think it's going to be kind of like, I don't know what to compare it to, but I think it's going to be very flashy. I think it's going to really rely on the high notes and the floating car. Like, I bet you, like, a car. I imagine this is like the car just flies over the audience. Like, I just imagine it being super high budget and doing things that you can bring your kids to, and they're like, oh my God, wow.
And I want, like, to do that.
Right. And it's,
that's crazy.
It's not like a theater critic being like, oh, there's so much behind this.
This is beautiful.
It's just that you're going to go and it's going to be like, wow, he just hit a D. And it's going to be like, yeah. And then there won't be like, it's kind of like Spider-Man. That's kind of what I see this being like. Again, I haven't seen this show.
You cannot do that.
I know. I haven't seen this show. And I don't know what I'm talking about. But the vibes that I get from Back to the Future is that it's really going to try to rely on its, it's going to lean on the, what am I trying to say? It's going to lean on like the pizzazz and like the
flashiness, the showbiz moments.
And it'll be good. It won't, it's not that it's not going to be good. It's that it's just not going to be what I think a lot of people think it is. I think it's just going to be like, hey, that was, yeah, you know, it was good. All right. It's not like you go see this Sondheim musical and you're like, oh my God, there's so much that you can to unpack here. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about Back to the Future anymore. What else did I have? Mike Birbiglia's solo show starts performances tonight, which is lit. Take Me Out is back, which is lit. Take Me Out is at a new theater. Wow, this might be a quick pod. We've been running on like 50 minutes recently, but I don't know. I just don't really want to get into a lot of the nitty gritty things. I guess this is pretty cool. This came out today. So the Neil Diamond Jukebox musical, A Beautiful Noise, is coming to Broadway pretty soon. We haven't really mentioned that on here. I think they begin previews November 2nd. Don't quote me on that. And they're releasing Sweet Caroline ahead of their OBC, which is pretty cool. I think this show will run for the summer, maybe. I don't know. Should be cool. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know anything about it, but it's awesome.
That's how I always feel about jukebox musicals. I'm like, cool. Glad it's happening.
Yeah.
So good for that artist's estate.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I want to see, I've talked about it on here already. I want to see MJ so bad. And I think I might be able to, right after New Year's. I just keep watching, again, Miles Frost, another person that I was just listening to interviews with. And he's just such a cool person. Do you know like how he booked MJ?
No.
So he, in high school, just did a really good Michael Jackson impression. And he did it at his talent show, sophomore or junior year or something. And his mom filmed it and posted it to YouTube. And his acting coach, he was at school. I don't remember where he said he was at school, but he was at school studying like audio engineering. And he just wanted to be like a music producer, recording artist type thing.
Yeah.
And but he was taking acting classes at the time. And his acting professor, one of his people, was like, hey, Miles, you were on my mind today for whatever reason. And I looked you up on the internet and saw this video of you on YouTube doing Billie Jean. It was really good. Can you still do that? And he was like, yeah, which he said he was lying. He couldn't. Or like, it was like, I don't know. I haven't done it since high school.
Yeah.
And I watched, I've seen this video and it's awesome. It's incredible. And he's like, so this person I know or friend or whatever is working on this new project. Would you be interested in submitting? Can I get you in contact with them? And it was for now what we know is MJ. And he submitted a tape and they're like, hey, we love you. Come to New York. And then he booked it. And it's just like, so cool. Oh, it's so cool. I love stories like that. And he's so good. He's so good. He had never sung the part before. He hadn't done all this like dance stuff since high school. He's just so good at the footwork. I love it.
That's what it's all about.
I just can't get enough of this cast album. It's so good. It's just so cool to hear this music in a different way. It's like, I know we shit on jukebox musicals a lot because a lot of the time they're just like, but this one's good. I promise.
Okay.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, let's just sauce up some grosses.
Oh, man. That's gross.
Oh, ew. Yeah, let's sauce up some grosses. Do you have it in front of you?
Yep.
I have prematurely put in some placeholders for winner and loser this week. And they're both up for debate. Just some fast facts for Broadway as a whole. Everything played 8 performances except Almost Famous, Kimberly Akimbo, K-pop, and Walking with Ghosts, which was in their first week of previews. Shows that did really well. Cost of Living did super well. 1776 had a pretty okay week. They were positive for both.
I saw they were doing a 50% ticket, or like 50% off for tickets for students also.
Oh, were they? That sounds about right. I think I saw that too. Yeah. K-pop? Oh, no, not K-pop. Kimberly Akimbo had a good week compared to last week. K-pop's operating at a really, really, really small, like, level. They're at grossing $196,000. I guess Walking with Ghosts this week was $146,000, but they played much less one less performance. Who else had a good week? Book of Mormon, all right. Kite Runner had a good week based on their standards. The Piano Lesson made a poop ton of money compared to last week. They were up $217,000, which for them is 31%. Ticket sales were down 6.3%. I'm not too worried about it. Top Dog Underdog, I think this is kind of why they're launching their student thing. They had the biggest ticket sale drop week over week. They went from 85 capacity to 71, but they still made 8.2% more than last week. Their grosses were up 8.2%. Wicked didn't have a great week by their standards, but the show that had the worst week is Into the Woods. Into the Woods. I have a little thing prepared to talk about Into the Woods. Into the Woods' grosses were down 35%. Last week ending 10/16, they were at $1.2 million. And this week they brought in $775 million. So if we can remember, think back to Gavin with Liam episode of the reboot, like 7. Into the Woods was operating above $2 million a few months ago. If we scroll back in these grosses, I'm going to go back to week ending 9/11. Into the Woods. Oh no, that was the week that Into the Woods had the horrible week. This is the day that we had You Win Funny Girl as the title. We'll go 2 weeks before then, week ending 8/29. Into the Woods was operating at the week before then. So this would be 8/22. They were at $2.082 million. Fast forward to this week. It's not that. It is not that. Ticket sales are, I mean, they had a positive difference in ticket sales this week, but they're at 74. That's really not good. Their average ticket price is $94. Do you want to guess what it was last week? I guess you're looking at it. You can see. But...
Oh, do you want me to guess?
Yeah, okay. I do want you to guess.
94. Let's find the column that says ticket price last week. No.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. Man, give me 100.
124.
Jeez.
Whoa. That's gross. Into the Woods.
That's gross.
Into the woods, bruh. We were so hype about this.
Yeah.
Like,
we were like, it's going to run forever.
When
the show
we rebooted
does so
the
well.
Show, it was just like so exciting that Into the Woods was like doing well. And now it's just really not. They lost half a million. They were down almost half a million dollars this week. That's so bad. They were down. Okay. Into the Woods' week difference from last week's grosses to this week's grosses was, this is so far away, $435,000. here are all of the shows that grossed less than $435,000 in total this week. 1776, Cost of Living. Oh, maybe this isn't going to be as many as I thought. K-pop, Kimberly Akimbo, Kite Runner, and Top Dog, Underdog, and Walking with Ghosts. So Into the Woods had, let's say 3.5 Walking with Ghosts difference this week. That's not good. That's not good, Into the Woods. But on the other hand, Cost of Living had a real sexy week. They had the highest percent difference in ticket sales. They were up 7.5%, and their grosses were up 16.68%, which for them is $37,000. To a show like Music Man, that is nothing. And to a show like Into the Woods, that sounds pretty nice right about now.
Yeah.
But their grosses have gone from $120,000 to $261,000 over the past month or so. So I tentatively have them in as the champ this week. They were green for both, and you just love to see it. As plays go, they're not the best. Leopoldstadt continues to just ride this wave of doing super well. They were up $62,000, which for them is 5%, a little over 5%, which is awesome. I love it. They're almost at 90% ticket sales, and they are in, I don't remember what theater they're in, but they have the ability to sell 8,600, which isn't nothing. It's not the biggest by any means. It is no Gershwin of 15,000, but yeah, Leopoldstadt's doing well. So I had Cost of Living as the champ and Into the Woods as the loser. What are your thoughts?
I agree with that.
I think there's claims for Beetlejuice too. It's just nice seeing them kind of bouncing back. This show is just so up and down. I don't know. I don't love it. Kimberly Akimbo.
Wait, did you say Into the Woods for the loser?
I did.
Okay, good, good, good.
I just don't. No other show had like a really terrible week. By Wicked standards, they didn't have a good week, but it doesn't matter. None of these shows lost. I'm sorry, their week gross difference was, none of them were above 6.71%, which was Wicked's, except for Into the Woods at 35.96. Whoa!
That's crazy.
Again, Into the Woods. It's just
that just tells you that it's not a problem with the industry right now. It's just like people aren't going to see that show. Like, I want to see it before I leave here, but like,
the Into the Woods hype came and went.
Who's back in now? But I think I'm going to try to see it next weekend.
Are you? Ooh, yeah. Cool. That's cool. I think everyone just rode the Into the Woods wave really early on. They were selling out.
They sold out a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of selling out, we had three shows sell out this week. They are three of the four shows that sold out last week. The only show that sold out last week that didn't this week is Hamilton. They're at 99%. Ain't no thing. But Funny Girl, MJ, and Phantom all sold out. Love to see it. What show had the highest ticket average was The Music Man, of course, and Funny Girl is back with their $599 top ticket, which is the same as last week. I still miss that $622 ticket to Music Man. I think that's hilarious. If there's a day that we break 700, we need to have a party, because that will be a silly day.
The concept of that price to go see that show is absurd. It's absurd.
The fact that some people are paying like $20-$30 for rush seats to some of these shows, and you're paying like $650 is just like,
well, and for something like Music Man, like my mantra for that right now is like, the only way I'm going to see that show is if someone, and the only way I would willingly see that show is if I was given tickets.
Yeah, right.
And the fact that people are paying that much to go see it is astounding.
Yeah, if they offered some sort of student thing where you could pay $20 or $30, great. But it's like, unless I'm being given tickets, no, all set.
Like, I don't want to see it.
All set. I will spend my money on the shows that I really want to go see first. Like, yeah. I will work down my list of shows. What is your, I'm interested actually, what is your list of shows? I can go first. I want to see A Strange Loop, MJ, Into the Woods. And then past then, it's kind of It's kind of hazy. I would really like to see Beetlejuice. I would really like to see Kimberly Akimbo. And then I would really like to see... Oh, that's five. We'll just do top five.
Okay. Give me a second. I, like, destroyed this Excel sheet. It's so zoomed out. I can't even exist right now.
No.
Okay. So Into the Woods definitely is up there.
Mm-hmm.
This is horrific to look at.
Can you not control plus? Liam has a beard now, guys. Is that a choice?
It's for a role.
I think it looks good.
I couldn't grow it enough because they only gave us like 5 weeks notice.
I think it looks great.
4 weeks notice. Thank you. It's just I would only be able to keep the mustache, and it's the only thing that's not coming in. So
damn.
They tried on this mustache for me, mm-hmm. and it's like looks like apparently Kurt Russell from Tombstone is what I was told. Which is amazing and maybe the best compliment I ever could have gotten.
That's awesome.
Okay. Shows that I would like to see.
Yeah. Give me top five.
Okay. Number one, Into the Woods.
Okay.
Number two, Strange Loop.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I think I want to say Book of Mormon because I still somehow have never seen it.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Zam.
Same thing. I'm sorry. I want to see Wicked. Never in my life have I wanted to see Wicked. But I want to see Wicked.
You've also never seen Wicked?
Because I've never seen Wicked.
Wow. And no, you got to get through. Yeah. No, yeah.
To throw it out there, Lion King. I've never seen Lion King.
So here's my thing with Lion King. I saw Lion King when I was like, I couldn't even tell you. I was probably like 12. So I remember it being like lit. I remember people walking down the aisles, but that's it. And I would love to see that too. I probably should have put that.
Actually,
last.
I'm going to swap out Lion King for Aladdin because I was supposed to see Aladdin. I got the I did Broadway Roulette and then I got the ticket and found I couldn't go. But
oh, you had a ticket and then couldn't go. So
I had
you
a ticket and then I had a conflict.
Damn! So you just have to give the ticket away.
Nobody sat in those seats because nobody else could go. Everyone on campus was doing something for the department or was doing a show. So I had two tickets, Gavin. Two tickets. Oh.
Wait, when was this?
2 years ago or something.
Oh my God, that sucks.
No, about a year ago. About a year ago.
So you got Broadway Roulette tickets mm-hmm. thinking you could go and then something came up and you couldn't go anymore?
Yeah, I had rehearsal.
Oh my God, that sucks.
Yep. Damn. It was going to be awesome. It was going to be awesome. And I couldn't go.
Yeah, Broadway Roulette's pretty cool. That'd be fun if we did like a podcast segment. If like, I wish our spring breaks lined up. That would be so fun if we could like just have a week where we did Broadway Roulette every night.
Yeah, I mean, I will be in a different country this spring break, but
maybe next year. Hey, next year's spring break, I'll be in a different country.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking about this.
I know you've wanted to go. Is it official?
I am. Currently through the process. I'm in the midst of the process of getting to study abroad in Melbourne, Australia.
That's awesome.
For the spring of my junior year, I am currently looking at the Victorian College of the Arts at the University of Melbourne. The University of Melbourne is the number one university in Australia, which is really cool. And it's in like the best city. And it has like their like Australian Juilliard. It's like, you know how all of the schools in the United States that own like big universities buy these conservatories so that they can use, I don't know, they like own them now. Like Penn State bought whatever conservatory was there. UC bought CCM, Berkeley bought BOCO. And it's like these schools do it because it's just a very, I don't know, they just acquire them so that they can manage it. And that's what happened here in Australia. Yep. And it's just this like really awesome theater school. And I was like, that would be really fun. So,
well, that's awesome.
Yeah. But that's not for a very long time. So,
and I'm studying at the Instituto Lorenzo de' Medici.
Wow. Aren't you studying? Can you? Because for those that don't know, Liam's getting an Italian minor.
I'm getting a minor in Italian. Yep.
Can you say like cool stuff?
Ciao. Mi chiamo Liam. I don't know. This is the worst thing ever. Don't ask me to say anything.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Abito in New York.
That's so funny.
Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I don't know. What do you want from me?
I love it. I love it.
Gavin, can you say something in English for me?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Hello, I'm Gavin.
Hello, my name is Gavin.
Hello, my name is Gavin.
Your personal voice assistant. Okay. This episode is finished. We're now doing Siri impressions and talking about study abroad.
Hey,
thank you everyone for listening.
What? I don't want to be done.
We have to be done.
Why? There's so much more stuff to talk about.
That is not true.
You're right. What if?
Thank you.
What
if you have made it?
What if we rated
stonewalling you, Gavin?
Top five turntables on Broadway.
Another time. Stop trying to milk this episode.
Tune in next week.
Tune in next week to find out our reviews of the top five turntable uses on Broadway.
That's what I'm titling this episode. Top five turntables on Broadway.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks so much for listening. As always, if you've made it
Thank
this
you.
Far, you're awesome. Go follow the socials at Gavin with Liam.
Gavin with Liam on everything.
It is just Gavin with Liam on everything.
It's like the Trader Joe's everything but the bagel seasoning. You just sprinkle it on. This is okay. This is the strangest end to an episode we've ever done.
I love
Thank
it.
You, everyone, for listening.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.